what Jesus said. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another." I'm thankful we got a church that loves one another this morning. You know, I was thinking down there as the choir was singing that the Gaither Vocal Band sings that song too, and I like the Hardin Community Baptist Church Choir's rendition of it better. Main reason, because you'd have to pay about $200 to see the Gaithers in live. You get to walk through there for free. Amen. Alrighty. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter number 2. That's where we'll be this morning. Alright. Hope everybody had a good Christmas this past week. I'm sure you're glad that it's over. Usually I'm pretty glad when it gets all done, we can move on, but I'm thankful that we still get to celebrate Christmas. Alright, Luke chapter number 2. We've been here for the past few weeks, and if you were in Sunday school, you might have went through Luke chapter number 2 this morning too. But we'll start in verse 21 this morning of Luke chapter number 2. Verse 21, the Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Let the church say amen. Father, we thank you this morning. We just have the ability to come into your house, Lord. We thank you for the good singing that we've heard already. Lord, I pray that it was uplifting to you. But Lord, I pray now as we open up your word, I pray that you'll open up our hearts, that we'll receive whatever you have to say to us this morning. Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit will be in this place with us today. Lord, I pray that you will speak to every heart, comfort every heart. And God, I pray that somebody will walk out of here saying that I got help in God's house today. Lord, we uplift all those that are sick. Thank you for all those that have made their way to your house this morning. Lord, we thank you so much that you would send your Son to die for us most of all. And Lord, I pray that everything that's said the rest of this service, you'll get all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at the thing called life, life is filled with firsts. How many of you remember when your son or daughter took their first steps? You remember when they said their first words. You probably remember their first birthday when you took the cake and you shoved it in their face. You remember when you got them on their first bicycle and they didn't have training wheels on it and you pushed them along the way and they turned around to see if you were still there and then they wrecked. You remember probably their first day of kindergarten when you would watch them walk down the hall scared to death like I was. Maybe you watched them in their first trip to Disney World or down to the beach. And you know, life is filled with that, of memorable things, of first things. We remember those first things that happen in our lives. Now, I don't remember my first steps or my first words, but most of you parents do. And you know, the last few weeks we've looked at the birth of Jesus Christ, how that He was born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem to parents named Mary and Joseph. And you know, soon after Luke chapter number 2, Jesus would soon say His first words. Jesus would soon take His first steps. And Jesus would soon probably take a trip for the first time on the back of a donkey. But before Jesus said His first words, took His first steps, Jesus did this for the first time. He took His first trip to a city called Jerusalem. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Jesus' first trip in Jerusalem. You say, well, why is that significant? Because Jerusalem, if you go back to the Old Testament, God made it His city. That was the center of everything that God did once David became king. there in the book of 2 Samuel. And we may think that America's the center of the world. We may think that we're high and lifted up and better than everybody. But if you turn on the news, most people don't really care about America. They're more looking at Israel and Jerusalem. Because the center of the world is not America. Rather, the center of the world, the center of attention, the center of everything that's going on in the year 2018, soon to be 19, is the city of Jerusalem. And here, we have in the New Testament the first mention here of Jesus going to this city of Jerusalem. And I want to get through these first few points just real quick, so I'll talk quick if you'll listen quick, all right? Because here we see a lot of first things that Jesus does in the verses that I just read. And I want you to see, first of all, that Jesus' first thing is His first presentation to the Lord. His first presentation to the Lord. Verse 21 says, "When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, His name was called Jesus." Now back in these days, they would wait 8 days to circumcise their children, because back in Genesis chapter number 17, I believe it is, that's what God told Abraham to do. Why did He tell him to do that? Because it would be an outward sign that he was a children of God, that he was a Jewish person. So this circumcising back in the Old Testament, even during the time of Jesus, is a lot like what our baptism is. See, circumcision did not save these people. Circumcision was just an outward sign that they were God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. Baptism, by the way, doesn't save us. Baptism is just an outward sign of an inward transformation that we had when we got saved. So that's basically what's going on here. Jesus was circumcised 8 days after this, just to show that He was a Jew related to the nation of Israel and to the people of God. But then the Bible says in verse 24, "When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses," this is Mary's, "they brought Him to Jerusalem." And what happened was, all of you, I really don't want to have to explain this, but all of you that have had a child, all of you that are husbands, you know exactly what takes place when a mother has a child. So 40 days after what takes place, the Bible says that Mary was purified of the blood of all the things that take place. And if you'll read back, what this verse 22 is saying is basically 40 days after this, they had to go to the tabernacle or to the temple and present their child to the Lord. And that's exactly what happened. So 40 days after Mary has Jesus there in Bethlehem, they were to take this half-day trip walking to the city of Jerusalem. And why did they do that? The Bible says in verse 22 at the end of it, they brought Him to Jerusalem for this reason, to present Him to the Lord. We read a few weeks back how Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, remember her? She couldn't have children. She prayed to the Lord, and then she had Samuel. What was the first thing she did when she had Samuel? She went to the tabernacle and presented him to the Lord. Remember Samson's mother? She couldn't have children either. But the Lord said, "You're going to have a child." She brought forth Samson. What was the first thing she did? Went and presented him to the Lord. Why? Because they were their firstborn children. And see, Mary didn't have any children. She was a virgin, and the Holy Ghost came upon her to conceive this child, Jesus. And the Bible says the first thing that she does 40 days later is brings Him to the Lord and presents Him. Why? Verse 23 will tell you. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." That's saying every mother that has a firstborn male child, Jesus or God says, they're mine. You come and you present him to me, sanctify him to me, and separate him unto my service. So essentially, the reason they came to Jerusalem, number one, was to present Jesus to the Lord, and secondly, was to fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. Because that's what it says here in verse 23. That's a quote there of Exodus chapter number 13. Mary and Joseph were doing exactly what the Bible told them to do. And here in these verses that we'll read, we'll see an example of what godly parents look like in Mary and Joseph, because they did exactly what the Bible told them to do with Jesus. So I want you to remember that. The first thing, the first presentation to the Lord. And why did they do it? To present Him to the Lord. And secondly, to fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. All right? Remember that. Secondly, so not only do we see the first presentation to the Lord, I see the first sacrifice to the Lord. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, not only did they come to present Him to the Lord, but verse 24 says they came to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. So why did they do this? Once again, the same reason they brought him to present him to the Lord, to fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. And look at what they were supposed to do. I know that's kind of hard to read, but I'll read it for you. The Bible says this in Leviticus chapter number 12. This is why they brought him to the sacrifice, or to sacrifice to the Lord. The Bible says in Leviticus 12, when the days of her purifying are fulfilled, remember 40 days after that, she shall bring a lamb for the first year for a burnt offering, a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest. Now it's the temple instead of the tabernacle in the New Testament. Then it says in verse 8, but if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering. The priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So 40 days after the male child was born, the parents had three options. Go to the tabernacle and go to the temple and bring three things. A lamb, two pigeons, or two turtle doves, so that they might kill it and make a sacrifice to the Lord to say thank you. So they had three options, a lamb, a pigeon, or a turtle dove. But I want you to notice what verse 8 says. It says, if she's not able to bring a lamb, then she can bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. What that's saying is, if you don't have a lamb, you can bring this. Because having lambs back in these days meant, in this day, you would have had a big house. If you had lambs back in the Old Testament, that meant you were pretty rich. That meant you might have drove a Ferrari. That meant that you had a big mansion that you lived in. And I want you to notice something. The Bible says that they didn't bring a lamb. The Bible says in verse 24 that they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. We don't know which one. And let me say this. Notice that. They didn't even have a lamb to bring. God did not pick Jesus' parents to be these rich people. He didn't pick Jesus' parents to be these people who were high that everybody knew in Nazareth. But He picked Mary and Joseph, who didn't even have a lamb to their name. And they were poor. They didn't have anything. But we see almost exactly why He picked them. First of all, because Mary was a virgin. Secondly, because they were godly parents. They did exactly what the Bible told them to do concerning their firstborn son. And I'll get to this in a minute. But although they didn't have a lamb with them, they did have a lamb with them. So they bring two turtle doves to the sacrifice. Why? Because they were doing what the Bible told them to do in the Old Testament. So remember that. So not only do we see the first presentation to the Lord, why? To present Him to the Lord and to fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. We also see the first sacrifice to the Lord, why? Because they were doing what the Old Testament told them to do. To fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. Thirdly, I want you to see the first realization of the Lord. Some of y'all might have read this in Sunday school about Simeon. Is that what y'all went through? Look at verse 25 if you still have your Bibles open. We'll see the first realization of the Lord. But now, I say that, but some people already knew who Jesus was. But I want you to realize something. Remember now, the angels came to Bethlehem. Remember, these shepherds were abiding in the field. The angels showed up and said, if you go, you'll find the babe laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He is Christ the Lord. And these shepherds come, and they find Him here in Bethlehem. So some people already knew that Jesus was born. But here, as we read this text, this is only 40 days after the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want you to realize something. That there was only a select few people on the face of the earth that knew a king was born. They didn't publish it on TV. They didn't go and take it throughout the whole world. Nobody knew it except who? Two poor parents named Mary and Joseph and a bunch of poor shepherds that nobody liked, that were poor, that were looked down upon. Those were the only people on the face of the earth that knew King Jesus was born. Nobody else knew it. And now they come to Jerusalem 40 days later, and two more people are about to find out that the Messiah is born. Verse 25 says, there was a man in Jerusalem. So Mary and Joseph show up now here in Jerusalem, and whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes to Simeon and says, you're not going to die until you see the one that's going to come and save you and be the Messiah. All right? So verse 27 says, He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him after the custom of the law, then took he him up. So Simeon took him up and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Here comes Mary and Joseph walking in the temple with this little baby in their arms, and Simeon's waiting there saying, Lord, I know I'm not going to die until I see him, so I'm waiting. Which is what you and I should be doing. We may not die before we get to see him come back, but we may. And they come in, and Mary's probably got Jesus in her arms, and Simeon realizes this is him. Now, how do you think Simeon realized it? Do you think there was a huge glow around Jesus saying, hey, this is him? No. You know what happened? A still small voice got beside Simeon and said, and you know what happened? Simeon realized that this little child Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And by the way, the same way the Holy Spirit got beside Simeon and said, this is him, is the same way when I was 12 years old and I was on a bus, the Holy Spirit got beside me and said, that Jesus you just learned about is him. And he wants to save you. And Simeon realized that this was the Lord. So not only does Simeon realize it, and I want you to see there, remember that verse in verse 30. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In other words, Simeon looks at him and says, this is him. This is truly the Son of God. This is truly the Messiah. And he realizes it's him. So next, this woman named Anna is in the temple. She realizes that he is also the Lord. Now, it's interesting about this woman named Anna. The Bible says she's been a widow for 84 years. So this is an old woman. And imagine being 84 years by yourself. She's lonely, she's hurt, she's down, but the Bible says she's really close to God because day and night she prays and she fasts before God. And Jesus comes in and she realizes in that instant that this is the Son of God Himself. And she realizes that it's Jesus. And I want you to see here something else. That Jesus' parents were poor. They didn't have anything. And I want you to see these two people, Simeon and Anna. They weren't kings. There was nothing special about them. But God used them to show them who Jesus was. You know what that shows me? You don't have to be somebody big and special, a CEO, a king, a bunch of money, for Jesus to know you or for you to know Jesus. He'll take you just as you are. The first realization of the Lord, a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna realized that He is the Lord. But I want you to see also, fourthly, the first task is finished. The first task is finished. If you have your Bible open, go to verse 39. The Bible says, and when they, which is Mary and Joseph, had performed, underline if you have your pen, all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, their own city, Nazareth. The Bible says they did literally everything they had to do according to what the Bible said. 8 days after Jesus was born, they circumcised Him. 40 days after He was born, they brought Him to present Him to the Lord, to sanctify Him to the Lord, to present Him to the Lord. And that was exactly what the Bible told them to do. These parents, Mary and Joseph, were godly parents. And they were not only godly, they were obedient parents to what God told them to do. And I want you to see that they left no stone unturned. They did literally everything God told them to do. And verse 39 says, when they did everything God told them to do, the next two words says, they returned home. Now, I have no idea if you've been paying attention. And I have no idea if you've caught on to what's about to happen. But I want you to notice something. This is Jesus' first trip to the city of Jerusalem. And these four things just took place. And I want you to realize something. 33 and a half years later, Jesus took His last trip to Jerusalem. And I want you to see something. Those four things that happened in His first trip are the same exact four things that happened in His last trip. So before I run a lap, let's get into it. Now, firstly, when Jesus visited the city of Jerusalem, It was his first presentation to the Lord. Fast forward 33 and a half years in Matthew chapter number 21. You can flip there if you want, or I'll read it. That's fine with me. So not only we're going to look at the first things in Jerusalem, but we're about to look at the final things in Jerusalem. So I want you to see that in Jesus' first trip, he was presented to the Lord. But I want you to see here, as Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time, you'll see his final presentation, not to the Lord, but of the Lord. Matthew 21 says this. You know these verses. We call it the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. The Bible says in Matthew 21, verse 1, "When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you'll find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Look at verse 4. "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them." Look at verse 8. "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And all Hosanna means is save now. So here comes Jesus. Jesus had been in Galilee. Jesus had been in Capernaum. Jesus had been in this area up here about probably 40, 30 miles from the city of Jerusalem all during his ministry. Visited Jerusalem a little bit. But now Jesus looks at his disciples one day and realizes that his hour has come. And he says, "Let's go to the city of Jerusalem." When he comes, he tells his disciples to go into this village and get him a donkey that he may ride through the city of Jerusalem on the back of it. Now, why did he do this? Remember, the first presentation of the Lord, they brought him to present him to the Lord. Jesus came in his last visit to Jerusalem, why? To present himself as the Lord. And not only that, but why did they present him to the Lord the first time? Remember? To fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. Why did he do this the last time? To fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. That's what verse 4 will tell you. And verse 5 quotes Zechariah 9 and verse 9. The Bible says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass." And as you look at these verses that I just read, when Jesus came through riding on the back of a donkey, these Jews looking at him realized what he was doing. He was basically telling them, "I'm the king. Remember what the Old Testament says? This is me. I am the king, and I'm riding through Jerusalem." So the first presentation to the Lord was done so that he might be presented to the Lord and to fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. But the last time Jesus comes to Jerusalem, this was also done to present himself as the Lord, to show everybody around him that he's Lord, and then to fulfill God's word in the Old Testament. So Jesus rides through Jerusalem for the final time, showing them that he's king. Now, last time we saw the first sacrifice unto the Lord. And I want you to see this time, when Jesus comes to Jerusalem for the last time, you're not going to see the first one, you're not going to see the second one, but you're going to see the last sacrifice that ever has to be given to the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew 27, and I don't know if y'all read the crucifixion story a lot, but we all always ought to remember what Jesus did for us. But I want you to remember, as Luke chapter number 2, as Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, and they were on their way on a trip to Jerusalem. And remember, they probably had two turtle doves with them that they might go and sacrifice to the Lord. I want you to think about this. As they're walking from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph was probably carrying a bag with him. And in that bag, he probably had those two turtle doves that he might sacrifice unto the Lord when he gets to Jerusalem. But can I say they might have had no idea that although in their bag they had a sacrifice unto the Lord, walking behind Joseph in Mary's arms was the Lamb of God, which would be the final sacrifice to the Lord. And I don't know if they realized that, but that's pretty awesome to think about. That although they had this sacrifice that they were going to give, Mary, in her arms, held the final sacrifice that was ever going to have to be given for our sins. See, Matthew 27 says this in verse 35. And they don't go through this big thing to where they say his heart burst within him, his blood was doing this and doing that. All they said was, they crucified him. They didn't go into detail about how. They didn't go into detail about what his body was doing. They just said, they crucified him. And that ought to be it for you and me. They crucified him. That should be enough. And parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Verse 38 says, there were then two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And I want you to listen to these verses. Verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and said, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. Listen to verse 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. I remember the first sacrifice was done to fulfill God's Word in the Old Testament. And I want you to see that this final sacrifice was done, first of all, because God loves you. Secondly, because He wanted to give us hope. Secondly, because we were sinners and somebody had to die for our sins. But I want you to see also, fourthly, that this was done that it might be fulfilled what God spoke in the Old Testament. If you read through your Old Testament, you'll find Jesus crucified many times. And one of the greatest ones is in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, 1,000 years before Christ was ever even born. This is what David writes. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember what Jesus said on the cross? Those are the exact words that he said. David wrote them. Verse 7 says this. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, listen, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him now. That's exactly what they said to Jesus as they walked by the cross. They said, you trusted in God? Well, let Him come and deliver you now. David wrote that 1,000 years before this ever happened. And I want you to see in verse 16 of Psalm 22, this is what David said. They pierced my hands and my feet. You know what's amazing about that? During David's day, crucifixion wasn't even invented yet. And David says, they pierced my hands and my feet. He obviously was not talking about himself. He was talking about the one that was about to come and die for mankind's sins. So all throughout the Old Testament, you'll find Jesus crucified. In verse 35, that quotes Psalm 22 as well. They parted my garments, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. But can I say, as Jesus was on this hill called Golgotha, He was hanging here on this cross in the middle. There was a thief beside Him and a thief on the other side of Him. And let me say this. This thief on the right side was a criminal, was a sinner, and he deserved to die because he was a sinner. This criminal over here on the left, he was dying for crimes that he had done. He was a sinner and he deserved to die. But can I say this man right here in the middle named Jesus was not being crucified for things he had done. You know why he was being crucified? For things I had done. For things you had done. Jesus was not crucified because he was a sinner. Jesus was not crucified because of blasphemy, as they said. Jesus was not crucified for any of the reasons that they brought on him. Jesus was crucified because of us. The Bible says he was wounded not for his transgressions. What was he wounded for? Our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, do you hear that? All we like sheep have gone astray. I'll raise my hand and say, I've gone astray in my life. But when Jesus was hanging on a cross, God looked at him and said, I lay that sin to his account. And Jesus, there in the middle of Golgotha's hill, when they were in Jerusalem for the first time, Mary and Joseph brought these two turtle doves. But when Mary was in Jerusalem for the last time watching her son die, she was watching the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, shedding His blood for you and me. Can I say this morning, I'm thankful that we don't have to come to church and bring a lamb with us and slaughter it so that our sins might be forgiven. That's what some people are still doing over in the Middle East. Thinking that for their sins to be forgiven, they've got to continue to take these Old Testament laws and slay these animals. But Jesus came and He died for the final time, and He never has to die again, because the Bible says He died once and for all. He didn't just die for a select few people. Don't listen to that. Jesus died for every single person to ever walk the face of the earth, and if we will just accept it into our heart, we'll be saved. We see the final sacrifice that ever had to be given. You see, in Jesus' first trip to Jerusalem, we see His first presentation, then we saw His final presentation. We saw the first sacrifice, and here hanging on a cross, we see the final sacrifice. Let me say this. Last time you saw this man named Simeon and Anna saying, I know who he is. He's the Son of God. Can I say, in this final trip to Jerusalem, there was a man that looked at Jesus on the cross and said, truly, this is the Son of God. And he realized that it was the Son of God. I want you to look at verse number 46 there in Matthew 27. The Bible says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And go to verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, what did they say? Truly, this was the Son of God. This Roman centurion was standing at the foot of the cross watching the most monumental thing to ever happen in the history of mankind. He might have been the one that took the nails and pierced them in Jesus' hands. He might have been the one that took the nails and pierced them in His feet. He might have been the one that whipped Him at the Roman whipping post. But when Jesus died and He fell over and He gave up the ghost, the Bible says the earth quaked. Why do I believe that? Because the earth was mad that its Creator just died. And this centurion turns around, and a few miles over, he sees this big, huge temple, and he hears a loud ruckus going on. If I can say ruckus. And he sees these people running out, and he realizes that the veil of that temple that separated this from that was rent in two. And he begins to look around, he begins to look at his friends, and he realizes something. That the moment this man named Jesus bowed his head and gave up his life, that very moment, the earth quaked. That very moment, the temple started going. That very moment, the veil rent in two. He turned around, and I believe he looked at his friends and said, boys, we made a mistake this time. And he looks up at this Jesus who is now dead with His body on the cross and says, truly, this was the Son of God. Remember what Simeon said? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know what this Roman centurion is in essence saying? I just saw the salvation of all mankind die on a cross. The last time Simeon looked at him and said, I realize that this is the Lord. On Golgotha's hill, this Roman centurion, he wasn't anybody special. Simeon wasn't anybody special. But this Roman looked at him and said, that was him. That was him. So not only, see, the last time in Jerusalem we saw first presentation to the Lord. The last time Jesus visits Jerusalem, we see Him riding in on a donkey to present Himself as the Lord. First time we saw a sacrifice given. This last time Jesus is hanging on a cross, giving the final sacrifice. First time Simeon and Anna realized who He was. The last time this Roman centurion realized exactly who He was. But I'm not done. Last time, the first task was finished. The last time Jesus visited Jerusalem, the final task was finished. In John chapter number 19, He's the only one that records this. And you can certainly believe it because John was standing at the foot of the cross. The Bible says, Jesus said, the Bible records seven things that Jesus said while He was hanging on a cross. The first one was, I believe it was, Father, forgive them. He goes down the line, says all these things as He's hanging up there for these 6 hours. And finally, He gets here to verse number 29 in John 19. The Bible says, there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to His mouth. And when Jesus had received the vinegar, He said three words, the greatest words in the Bible. It is finished. You know what that means? You don't have to try for your salvation because it's done. You don't have to try to earn your way to heaven because it's done. You don't have to try to please God yourself because Jesus already has. Jesus said, the task that I came to this earth to do, it is done. And you see, when Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem for the first time, I said they did everything the Bible told them to do. The Bible says they did all things according to the law of the Lord. And can I tell you that Jesus lived on this earth for 33 and a half years and He did not leave one stone unturned, but He did everything. He accomplished everything. He did everything God told Him to do. And everything you find written in the Old Testament concerning His first coming, He left no stone unturned. He accomplished all things. The song says He left no stone unturned, but He left one rolled away. And if you were to have your Greek Bible this morning, you couldn't read it. I couldn't either. But if you were to have it and you went back to Luke chapter number 2 and verse 39 that we read, and it says this, and when they accomplished all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee. That word performed all things, you know what the word is? Tetelestai. It's the same exact word that Jesus said on the cross. That word, it is finished in English, is the Greek word tetelestai. It is finished. And that might not get y'all excited, but it gets me excited. Because in His first trip to Jerusalem, He did everything. And in His last trip to Jerusalem, He did all things. He finished it all. But I also want you to notice that in Luke chapter number 2 and verse 39, the Bible says when Mary and Joseph performed all things according to the law of the Lord, it says two words. After that, they returned. And where did they go back to? The Bible says Nazareth. What's that mean? Home. Where they came from. You know what Jesus' final cry on the cross was? Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Praise God. When Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem for the first time, they finished everything they went to do, and the Bible says they went back home. And the Bible says when Jesus was on the cross and said these words, it is finished, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And He went back home to where He was from. He returned to heaven. Jesus didn't start in Jerusalem. He's always been. He was always in heaven with the Father. And when He got done here on this earth, He went back home and returned to where He came from. And they laid His body in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. And when those women showed up 3 days later, they found that the stone was already rolled away and His body was not in there because Jesus came out. Jesus didn't stay dead. He's not dead today. You say, how do I know that? Because I've seen what He has done in my own life. Jesus finished every single thing that needed to be done. And the Bible says He returned home. Let me say this. Jesus visited Jerusalem for the first time. And all these things that you see on that screen was done. 33 years later, He visited Jerusalem for the final time. And all those things you see right there were done. But you know what Jesus said in John 14? I will come again. And you know when He comes back, you know where He's coming? Jerusalem. And guess what's going to be done? It will be done. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth when He creates it all over again. He's coming back. I don't know when. They didn't know when He was coming to Bethlehem, but they were waiting. They were expecting and they were watching. Can I say the same way the Old Testament says He was going to come the first time is the same exact way He's going to come the second time. And I don't know when, but I pray you're watching. And I pray you're waiting. And I pray that when He comes back and steps out on the clouds and calls us home, you'll go with us. Amen. Musicians, you can come forth. Father, we thank You this morning for just how awesome Your and God, we thank You that He went to that city of Jerusalem and one day died on a cross and shed His blood so that we wouldn't have to go to a place called hell. But rather, when we trust in Him, we can go to a place called heaven and dwell eternally with You. And God, I thank You that over 13 years ago, You stopped by my way and You called me unto Yourself. And I called upon Your name to be my Savior. And Lord, I thank You for saving my soul. And Lord, I pray that we'll tell other people about what You've done for us. And God, I pray that we'll get in Your Word. And God, I pray that we'll just grow in the knowledge of who You are. You've got so much to show us here in this life. And God, I just pray that if just one person walked in here this morning, they don't know this Jesus, I pray today they'll know Him. And God, we thank You for all You've done. I pray You'll have Your will and Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would all...